Are you at odds with anyone? Do you take offense easily? Join Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim today for an in-depth study on God's love. Discover how you can live in peace and share the God kind of love with those around you.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Billy Brim's here with us, and this is the end of the second week. So if you missed any of it, go to the internet and get it.
Yep.
You got to hear this teaching, and Billy's blessed us so much. So, Billy, we want to welcome you. We're going to let you finish up this great teaching,
well,
at least what you have time for.
You can never finish it. But
no, you can't.
It was really, these scriptures were quickened to me just before David Wilkerson went home. Someone sent me his YouTube on taking 1 Peter 4:7 as a verse, and he preached on it. He entitled it "Preparing for the End of All Things," and so we've been using it now for these 2 weeks. And 1 Peter 4:7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." We've covered this. And above all things, and David Wilkerson really stressed this, above everything else, if it's the end of all things, if the age is about to change, number one thing you to remember is have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude
fervent
of sins.
Love.
And we've been reading the Weymouth translation. For love throws a veil over a multitude of faults.
Isn't that good?
And Brother Wilkerson
covers it. Love covers.
And he was bringing out the fact that we should let everything go that we have between us as brothers.
Oh, absolutely.
Not hold aught against any. And he gave an altar call that night, and the people just streamed down to let things go that they had against others. And so I trust that that will happen for you. Gary Wood, who was a man who went to heaven, came back, and we've got his testimony on our archives in radio, and his book, Heaven is a Real Place. I think you sell it as well. And Gary didn't want to come back from heaven, but the Lord told him, you have to come back. And he said, three things are going to be a sign before I'm coming. One, there's going to be a spirit of prayer. One, there's going to be a spirit of miracles. But one, there's going to be a spirit of restoration. And the Lord called and defined it to Gary between brothers. And that God was going to bring it about that someone would cross your path and you would have the opportunity to forgive them, and that would remind you you needed to do that. So above everything else, have fervent love in your heart, one among yourselves, one for another. And so today I'm going to talk to you about divine love and how I learned to walk in love. Now, you've probably heard this before, and it's on that CD in great detail. But I remember it so because I remember I was a born-again Christian who didn't walk in love. And then, like, overnight, I saw the light. And I took steps then to how to walk in love. To me, the commandment's not enough. The commandment to love, just knowing that it's commanded, somehow I just didn't walk in it. I had to know how to do it, and I learned it from Kenneth E. Hagin. I went to work for Kenneth E. Hagin in 1970, and I became his editor of publications. Now, up until 1970, how old was I in 1970? Oh, well.
Very young.
Yeah. And I was a young mother, and I had four children, and I had been brought up in a Christian home, loved the Lord, generations back on both sides. Called to preach, felt that I couldn't preach. My denomination didn't go for women preachers. And so then I married my husband. He had no idea that he had married to a woman preacher. And we had our children, and I was living in Collinsville, Oklahoma. I was doing everything I knew to do for the Lord. I was the junior Sunday school teacher. I had a junior choir. I was the pianist for the church. And so someone got me up to hear Kenneth E. Hagin. I became baptized with the Holy Spirit, and then later on I came to work.
What year was that?
I was baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1967, and then 3 years later I went to work for Brother Hagin in 1970. Now, I was brought up in church every time the church door opens. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night in our denominational church, spring revival, fall revival, summer camps, everything. And I married this handsome Cherokee, voted most handsome.
Myself?
Yeah.
I married a
You married one,
Cherokee.
Too. And voted most handsome in our class. And so I just married him. He was really a good man, good guy, but he didn't get born again until he was 16 years old. And his father got born again in the same revival he was born again. Just so happened that I got born again in another town when I was a little girl, mm-hmm. but it was the same preacher, same
Is
revivalist
that right?
preaching. Mm-hmm. And then he got born again when he was 16 years old in Pryor, Oklahoma, in one of the revivals. And so then his father and mother, who were very good people, loved each other, had a good marriage, but they were not churchgoers. Now, their families had been, their parents before them, but they were not. I can remember my mother-in-law, she thought Sundays were for finding antiques at the flea markets and sales and estate sales, and you had to be there early or you wouldn't get them. So you didn't have time for Sunday school, you know, you got to go there. So Kent wasn't brought up to go to church. So after we got married, I just felt like that it was my duty to train him up in the way he should go. And I kind of had one of those Mary Poppins ideas that I was practically perfect in every way.
Of course, and you would be the perfect one to train him.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And so, number one, I had to train him on tithing because I was just sure we would starve to death if we didn't tithe. And I can remember teaching him about telling him about tithing and his saying, "What? 10% of my hard-earned money right off the top I've got to give to the church?" Well, I finally got that done. And I would use tactics. I would cry to get my way.
No, Bill.
Oh, yeah, I did. And, you know, I had only one sister. Ken had only one brother. He didn't know about girls and crying. And he would say, "Oh, no, here comes the waterworks." And I'd cry to get my truth over, whatever truth I wanted. One thing was we had to be in church every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night and all those times. And we had a little game we played. He would pretend like he wasn't going to church on Sunday mornings. And we knew this game. We knew how it was going to turn out. And I would cry, Oh, Kent, the boys will see you, and then they won't go to church, and then their children won't go to church.
They'll go to
hell. And they'll go with their father, and the girls might follow the mother, but the boys will probably follow the father, and no telling what will happen to them. And I'd cry and cry. And then he'd start getting ready, and we'd go to church.
This was necessary
every
week.
Every Sunday.
That's funny, Billy. I hadn't heard that part.
Oh, brother. And then, you know, we just fine. We love to make up. And now I'm going to tell you about how I was. Now, I'm going to go way back. That was in Collinsville in 1960s and 70s. Now I'm going to go back to early 60s and late 50s back in Illinois. We lived in Illinois. So we just had two little children then. I remember this so specifically. We had Shelly, and then 15 months later, we had Terry, little boy. And I wanted Kent to be like these guys that I saw on the soap opera, which we watched together every noon when he came home, As the World Turns.
Oh, my.
And, those men were bringing those women candy, and they were bringing them roses. Now, never mind that this is their fifth affair in the past year.
Yeah.
But they just wooing those women, you know. And so I wanted to be wooed. And Kent was so faithful. All of his life, he was faithful. He never looked at other women. He never gave the slightest incident of anything, that he just loved me. And we loved each other, and we never thought about divorce ever. But we had drama. The drama was one-sided. It was me. I was the drama queen. And so I decided that he didn't pay enough attention to my birthdays.
Oh, that's
and,
pretty
yeah,
serious.
Yeah, it was bad. And I would start building up a case on our anniversary because he never remembered our anniversary. And then my birthday was just a few weeks after that. So I'd start building up a head of steam. Now Kent, he was such a good man. And he would just give me all of his paycheck. Here it is. And we had those two little kids, and they were both in diapers. And we We lived in a mansion that had been made over to an apartment house, and it didn't have, we were way up in the top part of it, and it didn't have any way to wash, you know. So we had these two little kids up on the third floor, which you had to climb, every evening when he came in, I met him with a sheet tied up with these diapers. You remember, it was before Pampers.
Oh, mercy.
And you remember we had to put them in a diaper pail,
yes,
and they stunk.
Disgusting.
Oh, brother. And then you wrap them up in this thing. So I met him at the door, not with a supper, diapers.
Oh.
And then he would go, because we only had one car, he would go, you know, to the...
He was a good man.
He was a good man.
My.
He would go to the laundromat and do those diapers, bring them back up those three steps. And then I'd have his supper by this time. And then after supper, we'd sit there on the floor and fold him. So he was a good man.
It's very romantic.
Not so romantic, but it is true love. But
yes,
the thing about it was, I wanted it to be romantic.
Mm-hmm.
So it came my birthday. Came my birthday. And I'd already been building up steam. I remember this just like it was yesterday. And we lived in the same town where he worked. So I made his breakfast. I slammed it down. This is a Bible. I'll use this book. I slammed it down on there. He's a Cherokee, you know. They don't have to respond. And so
stoic.
They're supposed to. You know, they just... So anyway. Then I'd turn around and sashayed out to the bedroom. Didn't eat breakfast with him. He came in at noon. And it's my birthday, December 6th. Same as Ken's. And I have got his meal on the table, but I'm in the bedroom with my shades drawn in a dark room, and I'm in there crying. Oh, kid doesn't love me. He doesn't love me. If he loved me, he would remember my birthday, but he doesn't love me at all. So in the evening time, I remember he came home that day. There was no food on the table. I'm in the bedroom, eyes puffed up, crying my heart out. He opens the door. What's the matter with you? Is it your birthday or something? And then he always said the same thing every year. I thought it was December the 8th. I'm quite sure he got himself all mixed up on it, you know. So then this was the way I was.
You just prepared for it every year.
Yeah, every year. It was just like on Sundays. We went through these things. So I went to work for Brother Hagin. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost in 1967. Went to work for Brother Hagin in 1970. And I became the editor of publications. And Brother Hagin is going to do, he wants to do some writing on love, divine love, how to walk in love. Well, I was sure that...
You were an authority.
I knew how to do it. I'm quite well qualified to write the book. So I took my notepad, you know. And I go to the meeting, and Brother Hagin is up there, and he says, now I'm going to teach you today on divine love. This is not natural human love. Natural human love can be selfish. He said, this divine love, two married people walking in divine love have never been to a divorce court. He said, now Christians have been to divorce courts, but not walking in divine love. Now this is not natural human love. Natural human love, they think their baby's the greatest. My baby's the greatest. Even mother's love. No girl's good enough for my son, you know, things like that. He said, this is the God kind of love. And he said, I'm going to teach you how to walk in it. Well, I'll just share you how he taught it. And he began by telling us that the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5. That when you got born again, the love of God got shed abroad in your heart. And then after that, you are to walk in that kind of love. You are to let that dominate you. And he said, I'm going to teach you how. Number one, you have to be born again to walk in love. You can start writing on your paper. Number one, be born again. Because this is... Nobody's able to do this kind of love without being born again. You're born of the Spirit. And Brother Hagin said this, and I'm reading from his book that you're going to get in the package. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's the evidence of the new birth. You have the love of God in you. That's 1 John 3:14. And then Brother Hagin said, in the new birth, we are born of the Spirit of God, and that's when the love of God comes into our hearts. When we were born again spiritually, we partook of God's life and God's love. Eternal life is the life of God imparted into our spirits. When we are born of God, we partake of God's nature. God's nature is life and love. At our new birth, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts when we receive eternal life. Not in your head, not in your mind, will, and emotions, not in your body, in your heart, your spirit. And then he read to us Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So I just, if I were going to tell you how to walk in love, and I think you need to know how to, I would say number one on your paper, be born again. Number two, know Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And then I would say to you, number three, buy an Amplified Bible. Or make a copy of your friend's Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8. Brother Hagin said to us, here is how divine love operates. It doesn't operate how you think it's supposed to operate, or your mother, or your father, or your preacher. It operates like God says it operates.
Yes, that's right.
And he said, if you're not doing this, what it says right here, because this is the explanation of love, then you're outside of love. And if you take a step out of love, it's a step into sin. Wow. So he said, this is your love gauge. You find out here if you're walking in love or not. So he took the Amplified Bible and he started with verse 4. Love endures long and is patient and kind. He said, now natural human love can endure long, but it's not patient and kind. It wants everybody to know how it's suffering. You don't know how long I put up with this old geezer. I'm good to mama. I'm the only child that's good to mama. All the rest of the children, they don't take care of mama. See, you're enduring long, but you're not patient and kind about it. The God kind of love can endure long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Well, I never have been a jealous person. I'm always glad when people get blessed. So I thought,
boy, you're doing great, aren't you?
Pretty well, you know. Then love is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. Probably I was missing there, but at least I didn't realize it. Love is not conceited or inflated with pride. It is not rude, does not act unbecomingly. So far, so good. And then Brother Hagin read this one. He said, now here's the love gauge. Here's the thermometer. Here's where you're really going to find out if you're walking in love or not. Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for, I really didn't have to do that all the time, for it is not self-seeking. Now here's the one that got me. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of
Praise
the evil
God.
Done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. I dropped my pen. What? What's wrong with touchy? What's wrong? My grandmother, my beloved Nazarene holiness grandmother is touchy, and all of her sisters. And my mother's touchy. It runs in our family to be touchy. And what does it mean, takes no account of the evil done to it? How are you going to straight people out if you don't take account of the evil that they have done to you, such as not remember your birthday? So I started listening to Brother Hagin, and the more he talked, the more convicted I became. And I saw myself. I kept good records for years. Kent Brim, you did that 5 years ago. Now you've done it again. So I saw that I was in a mess. And how's my faith going to work? I'm now learning about faith from Brother Hagin. It's not going to work unless I can learn to walk in love. And I need my faith to work.
You're going to have to do something.
I've got to do something. So Brother Hagin said, here's what you do. You buy some 3x5 cards, those little index cards, and you write on them the verse that is your trouble. Well, I knew which one to write. So I got 3x5 index cards, and I wrote, love is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. I wrote that on several cards. He said, now put that in places of attack where your love is attacked. I placed one on my pull-out steno pad at work. That's quite a story. But the main one where I got my conquering was in my kitchen. We had an old house. We had a big country kitchen. And I put it on my cabinet door because it was there that I knew attack. And I can remember specific attacks. Kent came in one night and he said, oh, good, I had a pot of soup on the stove. Soup. And he went over there and got him some soup out. I didn't like him to get it before supper, but he did it anyway. And he got him out some soup. And then he looked up at me and he said, what did you put in this soup anyway? I wanted to tell him. But I went over to the cabinet door. Love is not touching your throat, for example. Pays no attention. See, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And when you read the word, it will cause faith to spring up.
That's right.
And so I turned around real nice and told him what I put in the soup. And then he took another bite. Counterattack, he said. I wish you'd call Mom and see what she puts in her soup.
That did it. That was a challenge.
My flesh wanted to. But why don't you go over and tell your mom to make you some? But anyway, I went to the door. I opened the cabinet door. Love is not touchy or fretful or resentful, takes no attention to the cover long. And I had this victory. He never knew it. He never knew anything about it. Then there was another time. And this time, he walked in the back door. It was a cold night. I had made chili. We didn't have any crackers. I didn't have time to go get crackers. So I made him a hot pan of cornbread, you know, in a corn skillet, hot skillet, just got the right brown on it. I had to go and teach a Bible school over for Billy Joe. So I didn't have time to go get crackers. So I made him chili, and he always liked my chili, said I made better chili than his mother.
Wow.
So.
That helped.
I'm telling you. And so he came in, and he got this bowl of chili. He got a bowl of chili, and he said, where are the crackers? And I said, oh, honey, we don't have any crackers. I made you this hot cornbread. Timed it to come out just when you got here. And he said, I don't know. I just don't feel like chili. I mean, I feel like cornbread. What? How could anybody not feel like hot cornbread? What are you talking about here? I didn't say that, though. That's what my flesh wanted to do. I did not obey my flesh. Went to the door. I was not tough to you or fretful or resentful. And this time, God let me feel divine love. It started in my belly, and it was like lava of a volcano. And it went, it burned. It went, out my arms, out my legs. I looked over at Ken at that stove, and I was overcome with desire to get that man chili. I mean, get that man crackers. I was overcome with desire to get that man crackers. I said, oh, I'll go to the store and get crackers for you, Kent. And he said, oh, yes, and by the way, we're out of coffee. He doesn't know any of this is going on. I get in the car, I go down to our little town, and there on butcher paper on the window of the store, two items are practically being given away just to get you in the store. They're called loss leaders. Crackers and coffee. I took it as a sign from God. But I learned how, and you have to do it with the word.
That's right.
You take this word, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And if you believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth, then your inner man will dominate you. And where your inner man, in your inner man, their love is.
That's right.
And you can do the same thing with the Amplified Bible and 3x5 cards, and you can walk in love and your faith will work.
Marriage can be saved.
This marriage can be saved.
Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. That's on that CD that you're offering with a deal in much more detail.
That's very good, Billy. Thank you very much. I'm sure you've encouraged many a woman today. Billy and I'll be right back.
Come to these exciting meetings. Come to the 2011 Word Explosion with Kenneth Copeland, Bill Winston, and Chaplain A.L. Downing, October 13th through 15th in Columbia, South Carolina. Come November 10th through 12th to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign in Woodbridge, Virginia. The Branson Victory Campaign, the 8th through the 10th of March, 2012, at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. For more information, go to kcm.org.
You know, reading from this book that's in the packet, Brother Hagin writes, love is revealed in word and action. So you're going to have to act like you love because you really do. You see, walking in love means acting in love because the God kind of love is not just a feeling. It's a decision. It's an action. You've got to demonstrate that love. You can keep the love of God that is shed abroad in your heart captive and shut up in your heart by giving it no expression. How do you let the love of God out of your heart so you can express it? You let it out in action. You let it out in words. You know, I was just thinking about it. One of the ways that God so loved the world, He took action. What did He do?
Yes, He did. He gave.
He gave.
That's right.
Love gives. And one of the ways you can start today to release the love in your heart toward God, because you see that He's maybe dealt with you today, and you want to release your love and you want to seal it, then you give an offering unto Him. And the Bible says here, men receive tithes and offerings, but there He receives them. So right there, wherever you are,
thank you.
You can give to Him straight to heaven, and then you can just pass it through this channel right here. But give today because you love Him and because you want to express that love. And you just say, oh, Lord, I love You so.
Yes,
and I don't know what you've got to give. I can remember Grandma Martha. Sometimes she didn't have but a button
Grandma
to give
Martha.
Or a nickel. But whatever you've got, if you'll just give it to Him today and say, Lord, I love You. And I know that the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, and You are love. And I give this to You, and it seals it, that I'm going to be trusting You, that I can walk in love so my faith will work.
Praise God.
Bless the Lord. Kenneth and Gloria will be glad to receive it.
Lord, we receive it. We thank You for the blessing upon the people. Thank You for a mighty increase in the people that are sowing, in the people, all the people in the body of Christ. We thank You. We praise You. We worship You with our tithes and offerings, and we expect to receive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Praise the
Lord.
Go
to church this weekend. Billy and I are going to be back sometime, but not next week. But you stay in love, and you let us know. Be sure and write Billy and communicate with her. Let her know what's happening in your life. She's interested. We're interested. And Pastor George will be with me next week. And we're going to be talking about 10 glorious days of prosperity.
Oh, how good.
Pastor George has inspired me to press into prosperity again.
People need it.
And this is Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit our website at kcm.org. While you're online, you'll discover a resource of faith-based teaching and free information to help you find the answers you're looking for. If you need prayer, call Kenneth Copeland Ministries prayer line today. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right.